coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everyone, and welcome to the coffee break with myself, Leah, and with Yosef. And we just want to wish you just such a warm, warm welcome. I hope that you can all hear me on my microphone because it's not showing any sound at the top on mine. So please just let me know if you can hear me or if you cannot hear me, because sometimes my microphone does do this. But anyway, I hope that you are having a wonderful weekend and that you had a great Shabbat, and that, yeah, as it gets colder, we know that it's getting colder out here. I know that in the States, people are saying, well, you know what, it's actually getting a little bit warmer because spring is around, but it is definitely getting colder. And yeah, this weather is interesting, but I hope that you're all doing well despite the fact that we are still fighting this lockdown and this COVID, and lock it's up. Very strange lock up. And yeah, I just hope that you've all been having a really, really great week and that Yahweh has been blessing you. And Yosef, I want to just say welcome to you to the coffee break this evening. I hope that you have had a wonderful week.
I have, actually, and thank you, Aaliyah. It's good to be back on the coffee break. It's been a good week. Like Aaliyah says, the lockdown or lock up, I'm not quite sure anymore which one it is, but it continues, and we continue to trust the Father. We are grateful and thankful that He is doing great things. And this evening, Aaliyah, I think that what the Father's laid on our heart to chat about, I think it is so important, especially I think each one of us this evening are going to be able to relate a little bit with the subject that we want to talk about this evening. And that's what the coffee break's about. I really believe that, you know, we have teachings. We say that we do teachings, and the coffee break's more of a conversation. It's a time where we can have a conversation around a certain topic. Mm-hmm. And I think this evening it's important for us to have a conversation, because we are going to somewhere along in this walk of faith bump into somebody or have a situation where things are going to blow out of proportion, or things are just going to get crazy. And the question then is, how do we respond to these things? So this evening's topic that we want to talk about is basically, how do we deal with injustice in the world? How do we deal with people around us that are unrighteous and ungodly and doing things that are just totally contrary to Yahweh's word, like your neighbor, for example?
How do we deal with our neighbor?
Yes.
During COVID-19 when they're breaking lockdown? Yes.
That's a good one. How many of you, maybe where you are, have had neighbors right now, and maybe they are breaking the rules of lockdown? Maybe they're doing all kinds of things, and for you, maybe you look at it and you're saying, well, it's got nothing to do with me. And is that really the right approach to have, to say, well, it has nothing to do with me, I'm not gonna think about it or be involved or anything? Or is it actually, you know, that this person's breaking the law and it's unrighteous, it's ungodly, it's wrong? Or do we look at it and say, well, are these laws given to us by Yahweh, or are they just given to us by the government? And should we then obey these laws when we are under them? That's so many questions, Aaliyah, that so many people have asked and so many people throw out there. And it's very important for us to kind of, where do we stand, and what does the Bible say regarding this? And what does Yahweh require of us as His people? How are we supposed to live? You know, when injustice is happening, and it happens all the time, and your neighbors around you are doing things that are contrary and causing almost chaos around you, what kind of person do you need to be? And not only your neighbors, and tonight I think, Aaliyah, when we talk about neighbors, it's not just your people living next to you, you know, that are kind of there in your environment. It's
but it does apply to
yes, first and foremost, I think, let's say this. It first and foremost applies to the person living by you. And for us, we live in a complex that has 11 units, and there's a lot of space that is common property, and that common property is supposed to be used by everybody. Mm. And And if somebody alongside you is blaring their music or is inconsiderate at a late night or is doing things that is breaking the rules, and there is no rules set up in your complex, it's going to cause chaos, because you as a person that wants to live righteously and wants to inhabit the space in a good godly manner is always going to come into conflict with a person like that. Mm-hmm. And how do we deal with it as believers? How do we navigate through this and not kind of lose our focus, and not lose who we are in Messiah Yeshua, but at the same time we have to show love, but we also have to show Yahweh's character in this, Yeshua's character in this. And I think a lot of times, Aaliyah, that we stop at the point as believers where we say, well, Yeshua's character is love, so I need to show love to my neighbor. And then we also get to the point where we say, well, Yeshua says, I have to turn the other cheek, I have to X, Y, and Z. Yes, those things are also fair, but then when does justice come in? When does righteousness come in? When does it become the other part of the story and not just the first half of the story? When does that happen?
This is a good topic this evening, because I know that this is something that I myself have really sat with during this lockdown time. I know that it's been quite a hard one, you know, in the sense of you see people doing, well, straight from the time when the lockdown began, we obviously notice things among people in the area where we live that just had no respect for the lockdown and sneaking people into their homes to do their hair and makeup and their nail polish, or sneaking people into their homes to still continue to have that Sunday lunch, and seeing people go between houses, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, because they were up to no good. And it was very, very hard, because you're sitting with this situation where you're thinking to yourself, Yahweh, who do you require me to be? What do you require me to be? Because you know that the situation is such that if you approach someone yourself, it's going to be quite a difficult one, and then they will, you know, it might result in a physical argument or a physical attack. And then, you know, people then start picking you out as the bad person where you live. Or it could even apply to your work situation, you know, where you see people doing things in your work situation that's not good. So I think that this is important. And you know what was really resonated on my heart today is really just talking about this with the Father personally and reading Psalm 15. Earlier on this morning, and knowing that my neighbors or half of the property, all of them had visitors over, and we are in lockdown stage 4, and sitting there and just experiencing this reality of Yahweh, what are we supposed to do? Do we just ignore what's happening? And I think that this is just one scenario, you know, it's just one reality that we're all faced with right now, because it's in our face. And the bigger picture is, if people around us are doing such wickedness and they disobey, you know, the law, and just maybe even if they didn't care about the law, they cared about people that lived in the property that were using the same staircase, were using the same thing, where if someone got sick, everybody else would be exposed, you know, then we would think more for other people. But I began to realize again that the little taste that we've seen, you know, in our surroundings, and maybe what you've experienced as well to those listening, is actually, this is how the world actually really is, you know. And it's hard. It makes me think of that scripture where it talks about Lot, and it says that righteous man was sitting in that city feeling the burden every day of what he was being exposed to. And that's a very real situation, Yusuf, that I think most of us experience in one way or another, be it in our workplace, maybe in a workplace where people are gossiping or stealing or you know, taking bribes or acting corruptly, and things that happen, and then you're the one odd righteous person. And the righteous behavior is almost the anomaly, because it's not the one that people normally do. But it's now this reality of us having to ask ourselves, what does Yeshua really want from us? What does he want us to do? And the big thing, which I think is important to mention that we're going to get into tonight as well, is I heard a beautiful little clip that somebody sent to me today. And it was saying that in it, the guy started out saying, you know, he was talking about this COVID thing and everything. And he started off by saying, I don't know what God is going to do, but I know what he's done, because it's in the word. And then he gave like examples in the word of what Abba Father did during times where people had to be sheltered, whether it was Joseph in the prison, whether it was Paul in prison, whether it was Elijah by the brook. And so Yahweh really spoke to me and said that sometimes it's not so much about what, you know, trying to figure out what do I need to do in this moment. It's about knowing what he says in his word that we need to do in that moment. Sometimes we pray and we're asking the Father, what do you want me to do? Lead me by your spirit. Help me understand. And we can go to past, you know, experiences and we can try and tap in. But he says, it's in my word who I want you to be and what I want you to do. And what he's already done in his word is what we need to live with every single day. So if he says have clean hands and a pure heart, then we need to do that. If he says speak up for the oppressed, then we need to do that. So really tonight, we've got to look at what's in the word and say, forget about this whole theology of love, 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 because it's just a theology. You know, it's just the common doctrine we all hear of just, hey, just love the brother and whatever. Because I thought that as well, you know, but the Father was saying, let's go into the word. What does righteousness look like in my word, and what do I require of you to do?
Amen. You know, Leah, in Psalm chapter 10, and I actually want to read it from verse 2, it talks about how the wicked strut around along and upon the earth. And it talks about how they are seen by Yahweh. And it's important for us to see this because it says, in arrogance, the wicked hunt down the weak. And this is so important because the wicked seem to have the way to always hunt down the weak. They always seem to find a way to find another brother or another sister that's kind of weak, and they kind of rope them in. And they not only rope them in, but they bring them into a circle of destruction. It's kind of like, well, you know what? It's okay to do this thing. It's okay to do it. So the weak fall prey to that. And you see that even today, how when one person begins to do something, it's kind of like then as soon as they've done it and they're not caught for that offense or that thing, then it's kind of like, it's okay to do it. I'm going to do it the next time, the next time, and the next time. And the more somebody does it, the more everybody else sees, and the weak just begin to continue doing these things. And what happens? Before you know it, you have absolute chaos and absolute what? Lawlessness. And that's why Yahweh says that my law is so important. My instructions, my guidelines, the way that my son came and lived out those guidelines and instructions is important for us to understand, because he came to live it out in a corrupt society at the time. At that specific time when Yeshua was walking the earth, Rome was a real corrupt place. Mm-hmm. It was really, really bad. There was a lot of things that were going on there that don't even compare to what is going on today. You know, we have, you know, human trafficking and all those kind of things today. It was going on then already. Slavery and all that stuff was going on. And Yeshua comes and he lives a righteous, godly life in front of everybody. And that doesn't mean that he was just walking upon the earth loving everybody. There were times where he turned those money tables around and he told them, listen, you've turned my father's house into a marketplace. Yeshua got angry, but his anger didn't lead him to sin. And this is important for us to understand. We need to get to a point where we look at what's going on around us in our neighborhoods, where we look at what's going on around us in our communities, and we get angry for the injustices, and we get angry for the sin that's going on. Because Yahweh wants us to understand that there's a time coming upon the earth where he's calling all people to repent. And he wants us as his people, as his hands and feet, to stand up for, as you said, those that are oppressed, those that are weak, those that are struggling and suffering, and to stand up not only for them, but to stand up for righteousness. If we're not going to do it, who's going to do it? If we're not going to stand up and say, listen, this thing is wrong, who's actually going to do it? And these people that are unsaved, your neighbor that doesn't know the truth, he's not going to hear the voice of Yahweh unless Yahweh decides, listen, I'm going to come down and speak to him. He's going to use you. That's why he placed you there. And if we're going to keep on having cold feet and never ever stand up for truth and for justice, how's that person ever going to hear the truth? And you know, I've said this before many times. When we get one day to be with the Father and we're standing there and there's a separation between the righteous and the wicked, and Yahweh is about to judge both camps, because that's what it says. It says you will be judged for your righteous works, and those who do wicked will be judged for their wicked works. So we'll be standing there, and the righteous will be judged to righteousness, and the wicked will be judged and condemned for their wicked acts. So now if your neighbor's standing there and you're both in the queue, and I'm just putting this as out there, right? And you get to the point where it comes to be judged according to your works, whether you built with sticks or with bricks, and your neighbor turns around and looks at you and says, how is it possible that this man or this woman can make it through to be a righteous person, but they knew the truth all this time and lived next door to me 25 years, but they never told me what I needed to change. They never told me what I needed to hear. What then is going to happen? How are you going to feel? What's going to take place? Yahweh wants you to be the light that he says in his word. Be a light to the nations. Be a light to your neighbor. And that means sometimes standing up for truth. So let's go on what it says in Psalm 10. And it says this. They are caught up in the schemes that they devise. And this is exactly what takes place. You know, the wicked, I don't understand why, but the Bible tells us, you know, clearly, Leah, and it's quite interesting because the Bible says that the wicked strut around in the evenings. Don't you find it interesting what happens at nighttime along the streets and how things just seem to get so animated and so kind of evil? The evil just seems to ooze out in the darkness. And Yahweh speaks about it in the Word. And he says that in the darkness is when they devise their plans on their bed or they devise their plans in their houses during the day and they execute them at night. And it goes on and it says, for the wicked boasts of his heart's cravings. He blesses the greedy and condemns Yahweh. The wicked in the pride of his face has no room in his thoughts for Yahweh. His ways are prosperous at all times. Now, isn't that interesting? How many times, I want to ask those of you listening this evening, how many times have you sat and you've prayed and you've asked Yahweh for something and it doesn't happen, but you look around you at those people that you know are wicked, that are doing injustice and unrighteousness, but yet they prosper like anything. They seem to just have everything going their way. It's kind of like they have the finances that they need, they have the house that they need, they have the job that they need, they have everything that seems to be prosperous, but yet Yahweh tells us not to look at the outer, not to look at the things that we see. And this is exactly what the scripture says. It says his ways are prosperous all the time, but yet in their prosperity, they seem to be haughty, Aaliyah. How many times have you sat and heard somebody sitting at a table around, you know, at a table with their friends, unbelievers maybe, and all of a sudden they start talking about how much things they have, how much wealth they have, how prideful it comes out of them, and how there is no regard for Yahweh, the source of everything on this earth that we have. Everything is about me, myself, and I. I am going to go and buy a 22 million rand house because that's what I want. And it's kind of like the discussion goes around me, myself, and I, and what I've accumulated. So the Bible says that they are haughty. And then it goes on and it says, and your laws, your Torah is far from his sight. These people don't even understand anything about Yahweh's laws. They don't have any regard for it, nothing. And it goes on and says, and all his adversaries, he snares at them, they laugh. And you know, Leah, you said something, and Yeshua tells us, he told his disciples, and what he said to his disciples ring true for us today, that they will hate you for the truth. Just as they hated me and put me to death, so they will hate you for the truth. But does that mean that we don't stand up for the truth? Does that mean that when we at work and people are cursing in the name of our King, and they're cursing and saying his name, that we stand there and we say nothing about it because we don't want to offend? Or we say nothing about it because we're scared? Or we say nothing about it because we don't want to cause a fuss? Do we then allow that to happen? Or do we stand up and say, listen, you know what? You need to hear the truth here, because this is not the way that we address things, and we need to stand up, and even at the cost of losing a few friends.
And you know what? The funny thing about this is, Yosef, and it happened so many times, and I remember it from the day of being saved, you know, and of trying to reach out to friends and all of that kind of thing. Of course, we do this with wisdom, and of course, we do this with discernment of the Spirit. You know, you don't just go in and go crazy. Of course, we use wisdom and we live by the Spirit, you know. But the truth of the matter is that once we begin to speak truth to people, be it our family members, be it our friends, be it people we in relationship with, be it people we don't know, is that often people will use excuses to not accept that truth that you're telling them. So I remember friends saying to me, you know, you speak about the Bible a lot, and it makes me uncomfortable. So rather don't do that here. You know, we're having a nice conversation and we're having a nice, you know, visit around the fire. Everything's good. Rather don't talk about that here. It's making me uncomfortable. Or they turn around and say, you know what? You're pushing me away from God because you're a little bit too much for me. You know, if this is how God is, I don't want anything to do with him. And I realized that at that time, that, you know, people make excuses because they need to protect themselves. And so they make those excuses because they're trying to protect themselves. Because when, you know, when you share the word with somebody, I'm not talking about evangelism out to the unreached or the persecuted. That's a completely different story. This is just tonight, you know, your next door neighbor. And we live in countries, all of us listening tonight, we live in countries and nations that have the gospel. You know, we live in countries and nations that are supposedly, you know, mostly Christian nations. So you know what? Our neighbors know where to get the truth from. They probably have a Bible in their house, you know, or the guy down the street probably has a Bible or had Bible study in school, whatever. So we're talking to people that do know the truth. And once you, you know, sort of bring that truth to them, you begin to hold up a mirror. And that's they right. begin to see something that they don't like because you're holding up a higher standard. You know, you're saying not your standard. You're not saying, oh, look at me, I'm doing this and you're wrong because you're doing that. You're saying, you know what? You are actually doing X, Y, and Z, and it's actually not the better way. You know, it's not the way that, you know, our Father wants us to walk, or there is a higher standard, there is a different way. And no matter how we frame it or how we put it, you know, you hold up something to somebody and it makes them uncomfortable because the conviction is there. And you are revealing a part of the holy God of the universe to someone that's living in sin and unrighteousness. Unless their heart has been moved by the Spirit of Yahweh, which the Bible says, sometimes a person's heart is stirred and moved by the Spirit. And then they will say to you, okay, well then how do we live this higher standard? Who is this God? Unless, you know, that happens, you're going to come back with a case of someone saying, well, you know what, you're saying something that makes me uncomfortable and I don't like it, or they'll get aggressive or act out. And I think, Yusuf, what we need to remember is exactly what it says in Corinthians, that, you know, to those who are dying, we are the smell of death. Amen. But to those who are being made alive, we are this beautiful fragrance of Messiah Yeshua. Amen. And so we are the smell of life to those who are being made alive. But to those who are dying and perishing in their sin, we are the smell of death. And we remind them of the fact that they are actually living a sinful life and that they are actually dying, dead. Not only just their flesh, but their inner man is dying. Because if they died in that moment, they would go to eternal death. And so we are reminding them of this holy standard that we all should be living and striving to if we were all, you know, Yeshua-seeking people. And I think that this is the reality, is that exactly that. We need to know when and how. We shouldn't, sometimes, you know, we, like I said, need to have that wisdom to know when to speak up, when to speak out, when just to maybe pray, or when to intercede, or when to go higher, or to do something that is very specific in that moment. But we cannot be a people that condone unrighteousness, or, you know, because everybody else is doing it, suddenly we start doing it, because, well, really, is it necessary, you know, to obey something that's not in the Torah? Maybe we can get around it. And I think that we're all guilty sometimes of doing that. We have been at some point in our life. But you know what? I think, Yusuf, we should go to our first song for the evening, as this is such a great conversation. And what song? I know that we're going to be playing a really great song. I know it's a new song, so tell us what it is.
It's called Alive and Breathing by Matt Mahar.
Great. So we're going to play this song. You're going to enjoy it. And you're going to stick around, because we'll see you after this song.
What holds your heart? What stirs your soul? What matters come to mind? Cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seeking you will find. Joy still comes in the morning, hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive, we wonder why our Father finds the child inside. We left for growing old.
Such a great song. I think that it's a song that speaks to so many people right now and can speak to so many people if everybody could hear it. You know, there's just so much hope and there's so much things that we can still look forward to. We never stop believing and never stop hoping and dreaming. So you are with us on the coffee break and hope that you are enjoying your time with us this evening. We're talking about righteousness and really about what we should be doing and how we should be living in. I think that those are questions that we can still hold up to Abba Father and sometimes just allow him to minister to us through his word. And it's really about his word that's going to lead us, Joseph. It's really going to be about where does he, you know, expect us to be? How does he expect us to be? And, you know, what is the standard? And when I read, you know, the Bible, specifically when I read, you know, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, I see, you know, the way that Yahweh really wants us to be, the way that he really wants us to live, right from every single book that is in the Old Testament, we can see how Yahweh has this incredible standard. And I love, you know, reading the prophets, because there is specifically like in Isaiah and Jeremiah, he calls the people out for things that they didn't do that they were supposed to do. And when you hear what he's saying and when you hear what the people were supposed to do and what they didn't do, it was all about justice. It was all about righteousness. It was all about, you know, did you do this? You didn't do this, you know. And it's so incredible how we can look at that and learn from it for ourselves as individual people and say, wow, you know what? This is actually the standard that I should be living.
Amen. You know, Leah, I was thinking when we had that song that was playing, you know, about all the righteous men and women that, you know, that we read about and we've discussed so many times on the coffee break in the Word. And, you know, every single one of them stood up for justice at the cost sometimes even of their lives. Mm. And I think of, you know, I think of person like Elijah, for example, that decided he's going to stand up and say to the people, listen, you need to make a decision here. You need to choose today whether you're going to serve, you know, this false god or you're going to serve Yahweh. You need to choose. And not only that, how different people in the Old Testament, like you said, have stood up. And because they stood up, great things happened afterwards. But in the time that they stood up, Yahweh rose or lifted them up in a time where there was a lot of injustice, a lot of wickedness. For example, take Noah, for example. Noah was a righteous man. The Bible says a righteous man in his generation. And at that time, the world was so wicked. And it says that Yahweh was sad that he created man. He was sad of what was going on. And you know, Aaliyah, it's important because that is who Yahweh wants you and I to be. He wants you to be a righteous person. He wants you to be, as we said before, a tzaddik, one who is in the reflection of Messiah Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And if we say that that's what we desire, if that's what we say that we really want, then we need to also come to a point where we realize that it is only a few people in this generation that desire that. And why it's only going to be a few people. Many people want to be that, but a lot of people will fall short because when the time comes, Aaliyah, to lay down your life for your friend, to speak up for righteousness and justice, to let go of your worldly possessions, all these things, all these discipleship traits, many, many people will say, I can't do that. I don't want to do it. It's too much for me. That's why in the end, there is only going to be a few people who actually say, well, you know what? My life has been redeemed. My life has been saved. I have accepted Messiah Yeshua as my Savior. I have accepted what He has done for me, and I have chosen now to live this life no matter the cost, even unto death. That's why it says in the book of Revelation that they didn't love their lives even unto death, and they overcame Him by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And the question is tonight, are we going to be of those kinds of people? Because if you want to be of that group, then you need to understand that Yahweh requires of you to stand up against injustice and to speak out about it. And in Isaiah chapter 33, as Aaliyah said, you know, the prophets speak to us. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 15 to 16, it says this. It says, those who walk righteously and speak what is right, who reject gain from extortion and keep their hands from accepting bribes. You know, there's so many bribery things happening in the world even today, even in this country, you know. And it goes on and it says, who stop their ears against plots of murder, who shut their eyes against contemplating evil. They are the ones who will dwell on the heights. And Aaliyah mentioned Psalm 24 this evening. And it says, blessed is he who has clean hands and a pure heart. If we want to, Aaliyah, ascend the hill to the highest heights here that he's been spoken about, to the hill and the mountain of Yahweh, then we need to be people who walk righteously, blamelessly, humbly. You know, Moses was considered the most humble man in his generation. But Moses walked righteously with Yahweh, and he spoke up when he needed to speak up. He spoke out against the things that needed to be spoken about. Yes, he had failures. Sometimes he failed, and sometimes he didn't always do what was required of him. But he did what he thought it was right, or he did the most that he could do. And Yahweh considered him to be what? A humble person, righteous. And he walked with Yahweh. And it goes on and it says this, who refuse, or those whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. And I believe tonight, Aaliyah, that we want that to be our refuge. We want Yahweh to be our fortress. But you know, you said something interesting. In order for us to be righteous people, we need to find what Yahweh has for us in His Word. And another way of looking at the Word is the bread of life. And you know, it's interesting here because it says that the righteous, they will have their bread supplied to them. It will be given unto them. Yahweh will speak His Word into your life. Why? Because you're no longer profane, but you're choosing to be holy, set apart unto Him, righteous, living a set apart life away from the world. And that's what He said. He said, I will not share my glory with any kind of idol. I also will not share my truths and my hidden secrets with that which is profane. So when we walk with Yahweh and our hands are clean and our hearts are pure, then we ascend the hill of Yahweh. And it's there at that place, Aaliyah, where His righteousness is then transferred onto us, and we become His righteousness upon the earth. There's a difference between receiving the righteousness of Yeshua at salvation and then going on to walk in that righteousness and becoming a tzaddik. In other words, a righteous person. That's what He wants for us. And it says, and water will not fail them. In other words, you will continue to have streams of living water flowing out of you, and you'll be able to stand up against all the injustice, and you'll be able to say, listen, this is wrong, and it will flow out of you, and it won't just be a matter of, well, you know what, this is wrong. You know, let me say this evening, those of you that have children, I we don't have kids, but we've all been a child once. And I remember my father always, whenever I did something wrong, it wasn't, hey, listen here, Yosef, you did this wrong and that was it. It was, you did this wrong because Yahweh's word says this, or because this is what you did wrong and this is the law or the rule that you broke. In order for us, brothers and sisters, to help people be restored to Yahweh, they have to understand that what they are doing is a sin according to Yahweh's word. If we don't show them what their sins are doing and what it leads to, they are never going to be able to return or to be restored to Yahweh. So it is important that we don't just bash them with a religious hocus-pocus slogan that we say to somebody, but instead we need to give them the word of Yahweh and say to them, listen, what you are doing is wrong according to Yahweh's word, and it's gonna sow seeds of destruction. And Yahweh's word says, whatever you sow, you shall reap. Therefore, brother or sister, I want you to consider changing your ways, because you're gonna die in your sins. You know, Yeshua said that to the Pharisees 3 times. He said to the Pharisees, because you're so stubborn and stiff-necked, you will die in your sins. And that's the truth. If we don't change our ways and we don't repent, Elia, of our sins, we, as, well, not us, but believers won't, but those who are out there in the world that don't choose life, they will die in their sins. And they will go to the place of gnashing of teeth, or the place of darkness. And they'll be there. And Yahweh says to you tonight, will you stand up against injustice? I want to read another passage of scripture. It's found in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And I want to say this to you listening this evening. If I could say it by name, then I would. But I want to say this to you. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your Elohim. That's what he wants from you this evening. He wants you to love him, to act justly. In other words, to act in justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your Elohim. The question is this evening, are you doing that? Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, Leah says this, see, the enemy is puffed up. Those who do injustice, those who walk unrighteously, they walk around puffed up. His desires are not upright, says the word, but the righteous, the tzaddik, the set apart one, the one who chooses to live that life, will live by his or her faithfulness. In other words, by our commitment, by what is inside of our hearts. That is how we will live. And the world will know that we are different. And just by living like that, Elia, just by living according to Yahweh's commandments, living a righteous life, is already a type of sign and signal to the world that's already passing judgment upon them. Because they can see through your life what is right. They cannot then deny it and say, well, you know what, no one told me. By the life that we live and by the actions that we do, people will know that you are living a righteous life. So then, they can't turn around and say, well, I didn't know, if you're living it. When we live like that, as believers in Messiah Yeshua, then the world will know whose we are, that we belong to him. And isn't that what he desires of us? He said, I want you to be my reflection upon the earth, so that all people will know whose you are, and that they will understand that we live according to his ways and according to his word.
It's so true, Yosef. You know what? I find that Psalm 15 is a really good, you know, sort of guideline, a kind of a yardstick that we can hold up towards, you know, our lives and ourselves. And the whole thing about this is that it's that I believe that standing up for righteousness and being the person that Yahweh requires us to be is a warrior stance. It shouldn't be a stance where that we take, that we say, oh, well, I'm not living up to this and woe is me and I should do, you know, this, but I don't. It's really about, you know, taking a warrior stance and saying, this is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. And sometimes it's going to be tough. And sometimes I'm going to take some hard knocks. And sometimes I'm not always going to maybe feel like I want to, but I'm going to take that stance anyway. And Psalm 15 says, Yahweh, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is right, who speaks the truth from their heart. That is so important. And who has no slander on their tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur upon his fellow man, but who despises someone that is vile, but honors those who fear Yahweh, someone who keeps their oath even when it hurts, who lends money without interest and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. So funny, Yahweh is just continues saying that about the bribe. He who does these things, the person who does these things, shall never ever be shaken. He whose walk is blameless, the person whose walk is blameless. You know what? We read about David so many times where he says to Yahweh continually, like, you know, Yahweh, search me, know me, try me, test me, see if there is any unrighteous way within me, you know? And I don't believe when we read David's life, when we study his life, when we look at his life, it's not a case of that David was exactly super righteous. We never ever, you know, should look at it and say, well, David was the super righteous man. I've actually been studying David's life out for a very long time. And I see things that contradict that statement of, well, David was this incredibly righteous person. He wasn't incredibly righteous in that he was, you know, without sin or didn't do anything wrong. But it was the fact that he continually asked Yahweh to kind of check him. Show me, lead me in the way that is everlasting. Check out if there's any unrighteous way within me and help me in those ways. And David himself had unrighteous ways within him that he acted out in. Yahweh never smited him down or, you know, hit him with a thunderbolt on his head or, you know, it was a case of David learning through the things that he went through in order to become a better person. And that is how it should be with us. This should be a lifelong learning, a lifelong journey. We're not going to get it all right from the beginning. But at the end of the day, our walk, you know, it's not about taking a stance of hitting everybody over the head or, you know, being a Bible basher or being a kind of person that is just so, you know, up there that no one can reach that standard. It's about truly living a holy, blameless life before our Father and knowing that it's exactly that. The kind of love that he expects us to have is the kind of love that corrects people in truth. I was reading this very thing in Proverbs, you know, at the beginning of the week and having a conversation with a friend. Sometimes with our friends, with our families, with people around us, there comes a point where Yahweh says to us, I want you to help someone else be accountable towards themselves, to show them that there is things in their lives that you know, I want to help them change. And Proverbs says to us that it's better to have wounds from an honest friend who loves you than for you to just be tickled behind the ear, basically, by someone who is actually then just an enemy. Because Yahweh's word says continually that if we are true friends to someone, if we really love people, that we will also help them be accountable. We will also help them love themselves and offer themselves grace, but then also hold themselves accountable to, you know, their emotions, to their patterns of living, which is destructive sometimes, or things that, you know, do not serve the kingdom. We have to be those kind of people. And we have to be that with ourselves and hold ourselves accountable, not just other people holding us accountable. We love that, don't we, Yosef? We meet a lot of people along the way and then they say, oh, I struggle with this. Can you hold me accountable? Great, I can help you be accountable, but I'm not with you all the time. So who's holding you accountable, you know, when you don't want to tell me that you messed up? So we have to have that accountability with ourselves and to say, you know what, we have to strive to live a holy life, a life that is blameless and a life that is righteous, and be the kind of people that have a measuring stick and not fall away from it because of emotion, because of other people's opinions, because of their insecurities, because of the fact that they feel uncomfortable around us, because of any of those things. But it's about saying, Father, what do you require of me in this situation? Don't be a tyrant and don't become a dictator, but to become somebody who really just is striving to live that holy life, to have that clean hands, a pure heart. And I love that scripture you read in Micah 6, where it talks about, you know, walking humbly with Yahweh. That's what it's all about. It's about this beautiful walk of humility before our Father, loving justice, being a merciful human being, and also striving towards that justice. I'm going to end off with myself on this. You know what? Someone once said to me that, you know, they were very big about the whole love doctrine. You know, I think they were definitely in a church. It was very much about love, 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 in that kind of sense of like, it's puffy and it's fluffy and it feels good. And it's just like
a marshmallow.
Yeah. You know, we don't judge anybody. We don't call out any sin. Everything's just cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's great. You know, we just cool, guys. And the person said to me, you talk a lot about justice and, you know, the judgment of God, and one day when his justice is fulfilled and the judgment comes, you know, it's going to be good. And the person said, it's not about that. It's not about justice and judgment. It's about God's love and his mercy. And so here's the thing. Without justice and Yahweh's righteous judgment on the earth, there can be no mercy. There can be no good things. Because what if, you know what, someone transgresses against you and there's never any, you know, retribution for that? Yahweh says that the vengeance is his. So the truth of the matter is that judgment and justice are merciful, because when wrong is righted, it becomes an act of mercy and judgment. And again, that's what the Torah is about. If you stole from someone, you know, with Yahweh's Torah, you had to give it back and plus interest on that person. So the truth is that it's about that mercy and living in a just society. It's not about that puffy, fluffy, marshmallowy, getting down on myself feelings. It's about living a righteous lifestyle. And righteousness is beautiful and it's holy. And that is also just, that's where mercy and love comes in.
Amen. You know, Leah, when you were talking right in the beginning, something came to me and it just reminds me that, you know, in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, it said, but the righteous, the tzaddik person will live by his or her faithfulness. And you mentioned about having that warrior stance. And I was reminded of one of the teachings I think I did a while back, where we spoke about, you know, the breastplate of righteousness and about the shield of faith. And I mentioned there that, you know, we have been given the shield of faith. And it says that the righteous will live by their faithfulness, by their faith, by the what they have been given and how they live that out. But as a warrior in Messiah Yeshua, we need to understand that, you know, so often we run to our sword or we run to that kind of weapon because it's a weapon. But our faith is a weapon too. And so often we forget that in the times of the Romans, that their shield was used as a weapon to advance them and to move them forward. It wasn't only there to, you know, to protect them. Yes, it was, but it was also used as a type of advancement and not only to retreat. If you think about, you know, like the Roman soldiers and how they used to position themselves in a square and use their shields on the top of their heads and around them, and then they would have a shorter spear and they would lift that first shield up, move forward and stab with that smaller one into their opponent, and then they would rotate and they would keep moving like that. That little battalion would keep moving forward using their shields as a type of weapon to advance them closer, and eventually they would conquer and they would go in. So our faith has to be so in Messiah Yeshua that it becomes a type of weapon. It's not there to just cause you to stand still and okay, and I'm going to believe. Your faith must be put into your action, and the actions and your obedience causes you to move forward. And it's like a weapon. It's like a soldier using that shield, not just to stand there and say, okay, well, now I'm not so sure. Or as we've been taught, you know, it protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. Yes, it does. But when you don't have, sometimes you don't have a verse or you don't have the word of Yahweh, you have to go by faith. So take your shield and use that shield. Bang the guy on his head if you have to with your shield. You know, use it as a weapon, because that is what we have. Our faith in the promises of Yahweh. Our faith in the promises that he's given us and in who we are. As Dami said, we need to learn to be sons and daughters of righteousness. People who are not tossed around by every wind of doctrine. That when somebody comes to us and says, well, I don't agree with you, or breaks the laws, or speaks out against our father, our daddy, our Abba, then we need to say, no, I'm not going to stand for that. In love. Like you said, speaking the truth in love in every circumstance and not being tossed around saying, oh, well, I don't know, maybe they're right, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I read the Bible wrong. Know what you believe. Hold on to a set of beliefs. Have a set of beliefs that Yahweh's given you, and hold on to those things. Yahweh does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he says that something is wrong, then you cannot go back and think to yourself, well, maybe I'm wrong. No, it's wrong. If Yahweh says these things, if you do them, you shall receive curses, don't go back and say, well, is it really so? No, it is like that. And you have to see it like that. With Yahweh, there is either black or white. There is no middle ground. Yahweh says you're either for me or against me. You either choose today whom you will serve. And that's who we have to be. People of faith and righteousness, speaking the truth in love continually. And I pray this evening, brothers and sisters, I pray that you will be the hands and feet that Messiah Yeshua wants you to be. That after all this is over, all this crazy stuff that's going on the earth, and Yahweh comes and knocks on your door and says to you, now's the time for you. I want you to go and be the person that I want you to be. I want you to speak out for my righteousness. Will you go, or will you stand back and say, I'm not so sure I'm ready yet? Or will you be, okay, Yahweh, I'm going. And be, as Aaliyah said, speaking the truth in love. Not going out there thinking, well, I got it all, they don't, I'm going to tell them, I'm right, you're wrong. No, let us speak the truth in love, and let us reveal the righteousness of Yahweh in this wicked, adulterous generation.
Amen. Well, you know what? I have a feeling that some of us want to dance tonight. Not me, because I'm a little bit cold. And my bones are aching there. But some of us want to dance tonight. So we have picked a really, really great song to play right now, just before we get into a time of prayer. It's called God of Big Dreams. And it's, you know what, a little bit of like a Texan song, a little bit of a cowboy song here. So we're playing it out for old Christy tonight. But you know what, we know that this is a great song. And I really heard this song, and it makes me excited every time I hear this song. And I want you to really, really just take this song, because here's the God of Big Dreams. And even this, you know, this is not really the conversation we were having tonight, but the truth is that He is still the God of big dreams. And I want to encourage every single heart tonight that, you know what, you can still dream, you can still hold those dreams tight, you can still hold it with both hands, you can still dream new things, because the world is not ending today, and it's not going to end at the end of the year. There's still many things to be fulfilled. We can dream big, and Abba Father wants to make that happen. So let's go, and we're going to have a time of prayer afterwards. Put down your prayer requests for us, and see you after the song.
What holds you? You are the God of big dreams. You said that I do great things. You know my heart. Hear me when I sing. You are the God of big dreams. You carry my burdens, carry my weight. Never give me more than I can take. See that mountain standing in my way. Say, move.
This evening, as Leah said, that He is the God of big dreams. And I think so often, Aaliyah, that we forget that we need to continue to dream, continue to trust Yahweh, continue to put our faith in Him and to believe that He wants to do great and wonderful things. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you this evening before we pray, if there are any prayer requests. I know that we normally say this. If you have any prayer requests, please put it up on the chat right now. I don't want to miss any of them. And I also want to pray that Yahweh will bless you this week. And if there's, like I said, prayer requests, please just post it there. It's never too late. We're going to just wait a little bit and then we'll go and pray for those prayer requests. Also, I just want to say that there are some new teachings that we put up on YouTube that you can listen to. Hopefully this week we'll do some more and get some other teachings out. Aaliyah just put out one last night.
Yeah, it was all about how to cut your hair during lockdown. Steps 101, and I think you should listen to it, but don't follow my advice because I'm not good at haircutting. But honestly, you know, that is a real thing. Yes, if you know, how do we cut our hair during this lockdown? I don't know what's going on. I think
we're gonna go freestyle and just shave it all off. You know, Christy, I'm reading your comment there, and it's, you know, it's crazy because where we're living at the moment, there's some new people that moved into. And it's just, you know, I don't understand. People just seem to have the idea that, well, you know, they can just do what they want and say what they want. And, you know, nobody cares. And like we said this evening, it's hard because it's a clash of spirits often with people too, where, you know, we're trying to be at peace with all men and we're trying to do what's right. But there is such chaos in the lives of so many people and they just don't seem to have peace. So they bring that kind of spirit into a place like that, and it does. It kind of gets to you on a spiritual level more than anything else because it's just kind of chaos, and it brings in that whole antagonistic and kind of you know, chaotic spirit into a place. So that's the first thing that we always need to be praying for before we address people. We need to pray about those things because, you know, if we go in there and discuss things with people, oftentimes it turns out nasty. So we need to be praying and asking the Father to really just, you know, help with that spiritual thing because people don't understand what they're doing is even wrong. And they carry things with them that's spiritual and it causes, I know, because where we live, it's difficult. And, you know, working from home and trying to do recordings and stuff and having a neighbor that's drilling and banging and getting crazy when the rules say that you're not allowed to do that at that time, it does. It gets a bit annoying and it gets under your skin and you just got to trust the Father and we got to pray about these things and trust Yahweh. So let's pray this evening for these things. And Sudhi, I see that and I'm going to pray for it. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this evening in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach. Father, that you love us, that you sent your Son, Messiah Yeshua, to die for us so that we can be redeemed unto you. So Father, that we can stand up for your righteousness and your truth so that we can be the sons and daughters of righteousness that you want us to be. And Father, your word says that all creation waits in eager anticipation, Father, for the revealing of the sons and daughters of Yahweh because of the fact that they will stand up for justice, because of the fact that they will help people understand and help them to return to the covenant of Yahweh so that things can be restored, so that people can repent, so that Yahweh's mighty, mighty reign can fall again, so that people can be blessed and see the truth. And Father, we know that we are living in a time of great wickedness. We know, Father, that the earth and its inhabitants, Father, as it says in Isaiah, are living in darkness, Father, and that darkness is upon them. But we know too, Father, that it says that your glory, your righteousness will rise upon us. And Father, that we will be able to accomplish greater things in these final days because of your Spirit, Father, and because of your love. Father, this evening I want to pray for Sister Christy where she is. I pray, Father, that you will bless her to have wisdom and knowledge, Father, to know how to address all the things that she sees and all the things that she feels in her spirit. And Father, to continue to be a light and continue to speak truth to people that come across her path. And Father, never to shy away from the things that you lay upon her heart. And we thank you for that. Father, this evening we really want to lift up Michaela to you, Father, wherever she is in her life at this present moment. Father, we want to ask in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you, by the power of your Spirit, Father, will drill supernaturally into her heart. And Father, that you will continue to mold and to shape and to change her heart, Father, from the inside out. I pray, Father, that every single part of her heart that is hurting, that is aching, Father, that is in pain this evening, Father, I want to pray in the name of Yeshua, that that you, Father, through your Spirit will mend it. Father, that you will bring to surface the things that need to be brought to surface, Father, and give her the courage, Father, to speak about them. Help her to get them out, Father, and help her, Father, to receive your healing, and for you, Abba Father, to change her from the inside out. Father, we know that he who started the good work is faithful and just to bring it to completion. And Father, you started a work in Michaela, and it is far from over. And we pray tonight, Yahweh, that you will never leave her nor forsake her, but Father, that you will continue by the power of your Spirit to draw her unto you, Father, through that still small voice and through the signs and wonders, I believe, Father, that she will see happening around her, even in her own family. Father, I pray that you will continue to bless her. And Father, that you, Yahweh, in this final generation will raise her up to be the woman that you created her to be from the foundation of this world, a woman that she is not even accustomed with yet, but the woman that you created her to be. As you strip away what needs to be stripped away and rebuild what needs to be rebuilt, we pray that, Father, for her in the name of Yeshua this evening. Father, we thank you. We praise you. I pray blessings upon every single person here, Father, as we continue to seek you out in the beauty of holiness. I pray, Father, that you will raise each and every person up in this generation to never waver, to never falter, Father, to never be a person that retreats, as we said this evening, but to be a warrior that moves forward by faith and by obedience. And we thank you for this. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be on the coffee break with you. You know what? We want to do something really, really a little bit different next week. You know, during this time of lockdown over the last 2 weeks specifically, we've been receiving emails with lots of questions about the Bible and about things. Yosef, you know, like just different things, maybe not just, you know, end time things or COVID things, but different things and people wanting to know and really good questions, really. And so, you know what? We were actually looking at this and thinking, wow, a lot of these questions are really relevant and really good, and you know the answers could actually help a lot more people. So what we want to do is during this week, if you have questions that you struggle with something in the Bible or someone else that you know you can send us email and say I'm asking for a friend, anything, you can send those questions through to us, and next week on the coffee break we're going to be answering some deep biblical questions that people have sent and that you will be sending our way during this week. Really, if you have something that you've always kind of wondered about, say, you know, people wonder about things such as, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, Yeshua says about marriage, are we going to get married, you know, in the new heaven and the new earth, what's happening, I've been married 3 times, who am I going to be married to, something like that. People struggle with questions like that. Don't send us that one because we don't know the answer. But the truth is that if you have a question that's burning inside of you or you want to know something in the Word, please email it to us during this week or leave it in the chat for those on the Bible reading group, and we will...
Don't ask me if the earth's flat or round. I'm not going to answer you.
We're just going to tell you to walk to the edge and see if you fall off.
And then we'll come fetch you.
And you know what? We're going to do that on the coffee break next week. We love to do that. And so thank you so much for being with us. So much shalom and love to all of you for a Shavuot.
And if it's round, you got to keep running faster and faster because I want to get to the other side of the world quicker. So please keep running. Just keep running around it and then we'll get there. But yes, we pray that you'll... And please feel free to send them in. I know that, you know, each one of us has questions. I have questions. Every one of us has questions. And there's never a wrong question. There's never the wrong thing. Send it in.
But Joseph, there could be a wrong answer.
Yeah, there could be a wrong answer.
The pressure's on you now. You know what? We won't put anybody's name on the questions as well. Next week we'll all be just anonymous so that we can just have this big bowl of questions. So we're going to enjoy spending that time with you next week on the coffee break. Get excited. It's the coffee break before Shavuot, and yes, that's amazing. That's right. So we're going to have a wonderful Shavuot coffee break where the fire is going to fall on all of us, please Yahweh, at the end of the month. So next week, question time, and have a great week. Shalom, shalom, and enjoy the song. It's You Cannot Be Stopped, and we proclaim that tonight. Our Father cannot be stopped. May His will be done in our lives. May everything happen that He wants it to be, because it's going to be amazing. So take care. See you next week.
The dark tried to hide you and steal you away. Death tried to keep you inside of the grave. The enemy fought you. He tried, but he lost. You cannot be stopped. When we cried for freedom, you tore down the walls. The weight of our burdens, you carried it all. Our fears and our failures hang dead on the cross. You cannot be stopped. Stop our God. There is nothing. There is nothing.
You cannot be stopped.